I had several experiences when I was in seminary, which is one of these interesting places in life that's a big sort of fishbowl in a melting pot, right? There's a lot of people in of different personalities in one space at the same time. And of course, for many reasons, my time in seminary was just a very wonderful, grace-filled experience. But it was also one of those times where you can very quickly notice the differences between you and everyone around you, and everyone's little idiosyncrasies, everyone's little differences, and all the stuff that amuse you about other people, and all the stuff that annoy you about other people, and everything in between. And I remember in my first year in seminary, as I was still very much sort of grabbing my own bearings, thinking to myself, well, firstly, like, why, what am I doing here in seminary? That question was still going on in my mind. Knowing that I had at least temporarily made the decision that God had wanted me to make, but still, of course, at that point in my life, not sure that I wanted to be a priest or that God wanted me to be a priest and what this all meant and would I be happy and would everything turn out okay. And so, of course, all those things are whirling around, and unconsciously, right, you sort of see the same things in the brothers around you. And you're observant not only of the movements in your own heart, but also the movements in their hearts. And because everyone's in such close quarters, these emotions can kind of bleed over, right? These thoughts can kind of bleed over. There were several moments in my first year in seminary where I was pretty annoyed at various of my brothers. And not because they were doing anything wrong. I felt like I was annoyed, and I didn't know why. One of the things I got really annoyed with in seminary was my brother's acts of piety. All these little things that I would notice some of them do that would make me think, oh, aren't you so holy? Yeah, who are you, man? Like, get off your high horse. Look, we're all here. We all, like, no, you're not fooling anybody. Don't pretend. Now, I would never say any of those things to anybody's faces. But we all were thinking those things in our hearts. Like, I know I wasn't the only one. And it wasn't obviously something that wrecked my world, but, you know, at certain times, it was there. And then slowly and surely, God gave me a bit of mercy and a bit of grace to take a moment to stop being annoyed and step back from my annoyance and simply ask the question, why am I annoyed? Why would someone's act of devotion to God, like, why should that bring about anxiety in my own heart? I mean, shouldn't I feel like at peace? Shouldn't I feel joyful? Shouldn't I be thankful to God if I notice something holy in my brother? Or if I notice his attempts to follow God as best as he knows how in this moment? Like, why would it make me angry? Because that's not something, like, someone else's holiness should not make me angry. And I realized, God, you know, in the grace of mercy, I suppose, gives a grace of humility as well and your self-honesty. And I realized that the reason that I was annoyed at my brother's acts of devotion was not because they were doing anything wrong, of course, but because I was jealous. That's what I realized it was. It was jealousy. Like, for example, and I say this now, and it's just, I mean, it sounds stupid for me to even say this. One of the things that I would notice one of my brothers do every morning, we all brought, well, not this book, but our breviaries. This is kind of a thicker book. We pray our morning prayer, our evening prayer as a community every day. And one of the things that my brothers would do at the end of evening prayer is they would simply kiss their book before they closed it. Really annoyed me. I said, don't do that. Come on. You're not holy. Don't think that you're so pious because you kiss your prayer book. And I was like, but why? Like, why does that make me angry? Why should I feel so annoyed? And the truth is because I was jealous. Because without even knowing it, there was something that I saw in my brother that I wanted for myself. Because it was like in that act of devotion, what was going on in his heart? Well, what was going on was his desire to love God and to be intimately close with him. even in this really small act of kissing a book of prayer. And there was obviously a reaction in my own heart because there was some kind of realization that's like, oh, well, why don't I have that? And I want to be close to God. I want to have that kind of intimacy, like even those small things. And this is where the light bulb really went on for me, that really changed my perspective about personal holiness, about devotion, about acts of piety, about intimacy with God in general. Because it occurred to me, my gosh, like, why didn't I see this before? The Lord said, well, Brian, why don't you just kiss your own prayer book? It was like, well, why don't you just do it too? And I mean, yeah, duh. And why? But it was so illuminating for me in that moment. Well, I'm jealous because of this brother's act of devotion. And God said, you know, in so many words, well, you can do that too. Like, why should that not be available to you? Actually, all you have to do is choose it. And I was like, oh, I'm not annoyed anymore. And I wasn't, right? I was truly, this was just a really small example, but it was actually like a huge turning point in my spiritual life to understand that intimacy with God, you know, true personal holiness, of course, is something that's going to happen in our own individual hearts, and people are going to notice it or not notice it, and people are going to be annoyed or not annoyed. But the truth is that all anybody actually has to do is simply choose it. It's because it's not. Nobody has to be excluded from intimacy with the Lord. And it's a great question in our hearts that I would imagine has probably happened in various ways in each of our lives, where we may look around at either someone that we know or some random person in church or maybe some great religious figure on TV, and perhaps at one time in life we've felt the same emotion. We're like, well, aren't you so righteous? Like, who are you? Right, that question? And perhaps maybe the humility, the honesty is the same thing. If we simply take a step back from ourselves and instead of looking with judgment, maybe look upon our own hearts with curiosity and say, well, why do I feel that way? Like, what's really going on underneath that? Because for me, and perhaps for each of us, the Lord says, well, what makes you so angry is not that my holiness abides in someone else, but that you have closed yourself off from your own holiness because you simply haven't chosen it when it's open to you and available to you. I'm just thinking of this on the fly. This is actually, as I was reading the gospel, it just came to me. So I don't know if this is a fact, but it seems like it's a fact. This is the only time, now correct me if you know that I'm wrong, in the scriptures when someone's name is used directly, important thing is about to happen. Right, there are several points in the Gospels where Jesus calls someone specifically by name. And in being called by name, that person's heart is open to something extraordinarily different, right? There's a very different kind of encounter that God's about to have with you when he goes from speaking in generalities to say, no, Tom. Yeah. No, Susie. No, Brian. But in this Gospel passage, I think this is the only time in all the Gospels where Jesus says someone's name twice before speaking. He doesn't just say, Martha, get over yourself. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Right? There seems like there's a kind of really heightened importance to the words that are about to come out of God's mouth, where he's speaking so directly. No, pay attention. No, seriously, pay attention. There is one thing necessary. Because we all have, right? This is where we disagree with Jesus. Lord, I don't know if that's true or not. There's a lot of necessary things in life. And Jesus says, no. No, I'm serious. There's one thing necessary. And that is intimacy between us. Right, that intimacy that Mary was the example of, right, in that personal concrete scene. There is one thing necessary in life, which is the intimacy that we have by laying ourselves at the feet of Jesus and just being close to him to hear him speak to us. But Jesus himself says the same thing, right? The wisdom is the same. How did this happen? Because Mary has chosen it. Mary has chosen the better part. And don't even try to take away that part from her. Do not try to take your brother's devotion away from them. Don't try to feel like you're righteous by calling out their righteousness. No. See, like, isn't this right in our own lives, right? That's not the same story occurs. We've only to choose it. Which we all know, right? And in my own life as well, we're like, man, that's a task. That's a Herculean task. Because life is full of all kinds of things. Whether you're a priest, whether you're a parent or grandparent, right? Wherever we are in life, we all know that, man, life's about choices. And that's one of the biggest things that my formators in seminary used to speak about. They say, you want to know what's important in someone's life? Just look at their calendar. It's easy. If you want to know what someone values in life, look at their calendar, look at their checkbook. Guaranteed, that will tell you what's important to them. And so they're right, the priorities that we choose in life are not ultimately because we are simply pulled in every direction as if we have no choice, but we're players in our own destiny. We're players in our own life of faith, and Jesus says, you have power to choose. Your power to choose the intimacy that I desire with you. And if you choose it, it will not be taken away from you. The Lord himself protects that. So even in this hour of prayer with Jesus, this is such a great moment where he really does each Sunday, right? And every time we go to Mass, right? Where we have this moment communally, but this moment individually as well, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to simply be near him and receive his grace.